Wow, it's another outside the box, questioning ownership. Today's topic is, for land's sake. There are a lot of things that haven't changed since humans began to walk the earth many millennia ago, but one that is just a few centuries old is individual land ownership. For many thousands of years, land was occupied and used collectively, not individually. All those living on large pieces of land, some of them peasants, some skilled artisans, and a few more wealthy, shared the land and formed a geographic community. This is described by authors Carl Wiederquist and Grant McCall in their book, The Prehistory of Private Property. The authors insist that common land, or what they call propertarianism, not individual ownership, is a natural way of living on and using land, with many sharing the resource as a community, usually as hunter-gatherers and sometimes farmers. Despite what we might have thought about ancient Greeks, Romans, Chinese, Aztecs, and Africans, none of them had any official and authorized form of individual ownership. However, that changed in the late 1600s, with the writing of English author John Locke, who advocated individual land ownership as a way to cultivate and develop more land. But private, individually owned property turned out not to be such a good idea, since it left few with lots of property but most people landless. When all land was community owned, anyone who lived in the community could use common land for growing food, for hunting and gathering, for trees for heat or lumber, or for just about any use under the sun that was acceptable to others sharing the land. People of all economic statuses were able to provide for their basic needs without great difficulty. But about 400 years ago, enclosure was begun by wealthy nobility in Europe to privatize land. As I noted several months ago in an Outside the Box, this method of seizure now left peasants with no source of food unless they grew or produced more and gave some to the landlord. A life of relaxed living that usually took 3 to 4 hours a day to provide basic needs and left plenty of time for other interests suddenly became a day of all work and no play. The authors document that other changes in land ownership from the community to individuals also benefited wealthy Europeans and later colonial Americans, but caused peasants and victims of colonialism to lose access to land. Not surprisingly, those who could not maintain a subsistence lifestyle or their own way of living did not always quietly accept that fate. Many fought back, such as indigenous native groups in the U.S. and Africans opposing colonial seizures in their own countries. Those who lost their land suddenly found themselves working for the new so-called owners or migrating to cities to become the leader for industrialization. Privatization has been a messy, violent, and exploitive process with a few rich winners and many losers who experience family and sometimes generational poverty. This I own it attitude toward land has, unfortunately, expanded to the belief among many humans that their ownership extends to other parts of the environment as well. If they don't like some people or animals sharing their land, it's their right to get rid of those critters. Move them, shoot them, or disappear them some other way. Spray those bugs, trap and relocate, or kill those groundhogs. Catch and eat those critters to the point of extinction. I get to say who lives on my land. It's probably too late to go back entirely to hunting and gathering as a primary food source. Too many people and not enough food. But as an organizer of an urban garden tour in Bangor, I can see how most people living in the city could produce a lot of their food. They would need to spend more time each day doing food production, and they would still need to buy some items. But that kind of return to collective food production is not an impossibility. How would you feel about living on common land rather than individual land ownership? I'm Larry Danziger, trying to grow local and share some of my food with others.